popped out of an entryway door. "Hi," he said, smiling at me. I couldn't keep the big grin off my face. "Hi." And then I kissed him right there on the doorstep. I was just so happy to see him. He said.
"Come upstairs, okay? But we're going to tiptoe through my room, and then through the fire door."
I followed him as he opened the door to his room, a single. Lulu was asleep on a mattress on the floor, which lay beside Bridger's bed. Her sleeping face wore a serious expression, her hair fanning out on the pillow. We tiptoed around her, then on through a wooden door, into the neighboring room. It was a single of similar proportions. Bridger shut the door behind us.
"My neighbor's on the basketball team," he said. "And they're away at Dartmouth tonight, for a preseason tournament. I asked him if we could sit here and watch TV while he was gone."
"Brilliant. But what if she wakes up?" He shook his head.
"She sleeps like the dead. But also I told her exactly where I'd be."
He bent over his neighbor's bed, which was a tangled mess. Bridger straightened the spread as best he could.
"He's such a slob. Hang on," he said.
He slipped back into his own room and returned with his own comforter and pillows, arranging them on the bed. I sat down on the finished product, a pillow between my back and the wall. The neighbor had a big flat-screen TV. Bridger flipped through the offerings, but there was nothing terribly appealing. "Let's just settle for that comedy," I said at last.
"Sure," Bridger agreed.
For about 10 minutes we watched the movie, drinking Coke and snuggling against each other. But I couldn't keep my mind on the plot. The solid weight of Bridger's arm around me, and the feel of his thumb stroking my palm, stoked my senses. I was all too aware of the heat of his body and the masculine scent of his soap. It was enough to make me want to launch myself at him. And I probably would have if he hadn't gone there first. Dropping his head, Bridger placed his lips on the side of my neck and began to kiss me. As it always did, the feel of his mouth on my body made me quiver with joy. It wasn't long before I rolled back onto the bed, pulling him down on top of me. With a chuckle, Bridger muted the video. And then we behaved like crazy, frantic people. His kisses were those of a starving man devouring me. I wrenched his t-shirt over his head, as if it was about to burn him. He threw my top and bra across the room, as if they would bite. We'd waited a long time for this, to be alone together. Every night when I climbed into my bed alone, I lay on my side, just imagining him curled up behind me. I also had sexier fantasies. I dreamt of him hovering over me, his warmth weighing me down, his hands on my body. I'd been wanting this, but I'd also been nervous about it. Yet now, skin to skin, our kisses were hot and urgent. There was no room in my heart for nerves. He lay on top of me, caressing my breasts, his hips sliding over mine. I felt warmth blossom everywhere he touched me. He felt so right, fitted between my legs. In spite of my lack of experience, my body knew just what it wanted from him. Things didn't slow down until he rolled aside and put his hand on the zipper of my jeans.
"Scarlet, is this okay?"
His voice was thick with desire. I nodded, reaching for his fly too. In the movies, the clothes just fall right off. But the truth of the matter is that getting two people out of jeans and socks and underwear in one small bed was more awkward than I would have thought. But never mind. In a couple of minutes, we lay facing each other on the bed, nary a thread of clothing in evidence. One of my hands rested on Bridger's naked hip. His free hand caressed my sternum.
"Tell me what you like," he breathed.
I had never been naked with a guy before, and the sheer beauty of him overwhelmed me. I was in way over my head, and it would have been exactly the right time to tell him that I was a virgin. But I didn't do it. Instead, I said, "What I like is you." As he leaned in to kiss me, his hand began a slow descent down my body. He paused at my belly to trace distracting circles there, before raking into the hair between my legs. And when his fingers found the wetness pooling there, we both gasped. Then I was paralyzed by the sensation of his touch, his fingers slicking an exquisite circle in a place where no man had ever touched me. Oh, 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 and oh. My mind was a continuous loop of surprise and delight. Distracted, my hand slipped off Bridger's hip and onto his penis. Mmm, he said as I grazed it. So I wrapped my fingers around it, surprised at how perfectly straight it pointed up towards his chest. It was hard and silky at the same time, and when I slipped my hand up the length of it, he made a happy groan from the back of his throat. Heaven. Before long, it was difficult to breathe and touch him and kiss him and not faint from arousal all at the same time. Something had to give. My head rolled back onto the pillow and my hand released him. And then I was down to just the breathing and the miracles happening beneath Bridger's hand. He moved closer to me then, his lips on my neck. One of his knees bent across my thighs. I was drowning in sensation, and the wonder of so much of his skin pressed against mine. Then I felt a sort of heady acceleration, like feet running too quickly downhill, and a wave of pleasure swept me under, shimmering everywhere he touched me. I felt my back arch up off the bed, my hips twisting involuntarily, and I was lost to myself. The next thing I knew were Bridger's fingertips pressed gently to my lips, and his chuckle in my ear. "Shh, you'll wake the neighborhood," he said softly. I sucked in oxygen as his words made it into my consciousness. "Sorry." He nuzzled into my hair.
"You have nothing to be sorry about. It's just too bad that I don't turn you on at all."
He chuckled again. Embarrassed, I punched him on the arm.
"Easy, killer."
He folded me close to his chest, where I tried to slow down my breathing. "Wow," was all I had to say for myself. He cupped my face in his hands and stared into my eyes.
"You sexy thing," he whispered, kissing me.
I wrapped my arms around him, sliding onto his body. He felt so good underneath me, all solid muscle and taut skin. We kissed, and his hips rolled gently underneath me. His erection pressed into my belly. That's when I finally began to feel nervous, because I wanted to make Bridger feel as wonderful as he'd made me feel, and I really had no idea what I was doing.
Bridger. To say that I was raring to go would be a dramatic understatement, and it wasn't only because I hadn't had sex in a ridiculously long time. That was part of it, but the anticipation was sweeter than that. My life was shit right now, and meeting someone special had not been on my agenda, but it had happened anyway, somehow. And so here I was, skin to skin with the most amazing girl I'd ever met. Scarlett slipped off my body so that we lay facing each other again. Tentatively, she curled her hand around my shaft, her soft fingers stroking me. Damn! I had to clench every muscle in my body to try to control myself. And then I kissed her again, because it was either that or I'd probably start moaning like an overzealous porn star. I wanted Scarlett. Badly. Even though we'd never had the chance to have sex before in real life, in my fantasies, she and I were already Division I champs. My imagination was pretty vivid, but the real thing was so much better. The way her soft hair slid across my chest made me crazy, and the intense, sexy look in her eyes just about undid me. I felt like a cartoon bomb with a fuse that was already lit. It was only a matter of time before I detonated. My hips moved of their own volition. She stroked me and sighed into my mouth. And life was very, very good. Maybe too good. "Scarlett," I whispered, catching her hands in mine. "If we're going to have sex, you'd better stop that. But if you don't want to go there tonight, that's okay too." She blinked, hesitating. And for a moment, my body quivered with the fear that she was about to call everything to a halt.
"I want to,"
she whispered. Blowing out a breath, I made myself count to 10 before I reached for the condom, which was in my jeans, somewhere on the floor. My body was on fire, but at the same time, I didn't want to rush this. This was Scarlett. I wanted to do everything right.
I never was much of a basketball fan until tonight, she murmured.
What? I asked stupidly.
Oh!
I laughed. I'd forgotten the rest of the world existed. There was only Scarlet and I, and bare skin. Rustling through our discarded clothing, I finally came up with the packet I sought. When it tore, the room filled with that telltale medicinal odor which foretold imminent gratification. I rose up and rolled it on, all the while feasting on the sight of Scarlet's lush body stretched out beneath me. I'd done this 100 times before, but never with such sweet anticipation. This girl and this moment were both rare gifts. Trying to go slow, I stretched out over her. You're so beautiful, I whispered, kissing her. But even to my own ears, the words didn't measure up to the way I really felt. Every time she touched me, it felt as if she was saving me from something. I nudged her knees apart with my own, and that's when I saw it. A flicker of hesitation in her eyes. And her body tensed. Lifting my head, I paused. Hey, are you okay?
Perfectly, she said,
but her voice shook. I propped myself up on one elbow and teased a finger around her nipple. Scarlet, don't take this question the wrong way, but have you done this before? Again, she hesitated, and then, slowly, shook her head. Christ, I swore. And then we blinked at each other for a moment before I swung myself up and off her, turning to sit on the edge of the bed. A warm hand landed on my lower back.
Bridger, what's the matter?
There had been many moments in my life when Scarlet's admission would not have even slowed me down.
Maybe we shouldn't,
I said. God knows I wanted to, but for her, it wouldn't just be sex. It would be a big deal. And I didn't think my life could sustain any more drama. I was so tapped out, which meant that I probably wasn't thinking straight, and Scarlet deserved better than that.
Hang on.
She scrambled up to sit beside me.
I think I just became another thing you have to take care of, didn't I?
I dropped my head, because she wasn't far off the mark.
Bridge, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it.
But what if it is a big deal? I asked. Her first time shouldn't be on a stranger's bed, with a guy whose life was circling the drain.
Why does it have to be? This is my choice. You asked very politely, and I said yes instead of no. And now you're rejecting me.
Damn. I curled an arm around her back. I'm not rejecting you. I could never reject you. I rubbed the space between her shoulder blades. It's just that girls... Some people think the first time is supposed to be, I don't know, important. But usually it's just awful. Or maybe that's just me and all my dopey friends. The tension bubbled out of her then in the form of a giggle. Her soft skin shook against me as she laughed. Her head landed on my shoulder, that soft hair torturing me again.
So what's the solution? Because if you won't be my awful first... then you can't be my excellent second. And if by some miracle Harkness basketball makes it to the NCAA tournament, we'll be stuck watching whatever movie is on.
Smiling, I dropped my head into my hands. Have you met our basketball team?
Bridger,
she whispered, her fingers lightly stroking my hip.
We can talk about basketball if you want to, but...
Her hands wandered onto my groin, just like they did every night in my dreams. I held back a groan. Does anyone ever win an argument with you?
Not often.
I turned to meet her eyes, and her gaze was steady. She didn't look nervous. Still, something held me back. Seriously, Scarlet, how are you going to feel about it tomorrow? She leaned in, brushing her lips across mine.
You'll just have to ask me tomorrow.
Then she kissed me. Both her hands massaging my pecs. It was potent stuff. When her tongue slid into my mouth, I pushed her down on the bed. You're very persuasive, I said. Wait for me a sec. I got up and stumbled into my boxers, then opened the fire door a crack. Lucy was out like a light, wheezing just a little with each breath. I grabbed something out of my desk drawer and then tiptoed back to Scarlet.
What's that?
It's lube, because I really don't want to hurt you. She settled onto her back, but I didn't climb on top of her right away. I wasn't in a hurry anymore. If she wanted to do this with me, I was going to make it good for her. I lay down next to her, smoothing her hair away from her face, trailing a hand down her belly, kissing her, touching her the way I had before. Nervous? I whispered. Her kisses were as gentle as I could manage under the circumstances. My dick was starting to remember that we were just about to get some. I was throbbing with need. Scarlet shook her head.
I'm only nervous about you liking it, too. I don't know what I'm doing.
My lips paused on her cheekbone. You never touched a guy before?
You're not going to freak out again, are you?
I laughed. No, I'm just going to wonder how in the hell it's possible that you never had a boyfriend in high school. You're hot, Scarlet.
I had dates when I was younger and always fought them off. Lots of grabby 16-year-olds tried.
I chuckled against the smooth skin of her neck. If I'd met you when I was 16, I would have grabbed you too.
But last year... Can we not talk about this, actually?
I wrapped both arms around her in a protective embrace. Sorry. None of it matters anyway.
We already decided that,
she whispered. Yes, we did. I gave her the slowest, most controlled kiss I could manage.
I want to make you happy, Bridge.
You already do. I took her hand and guided it to my shaft. Guys are easy. I breathed into her ear. There's only one button to push. Her fingers closed around my condom, so I lowered her hand, and when her palm curved around my sack, I let out an achy breath. There was no more talking for a while. I tended to her, touching her until she began to whimper with pleasure. And when I finally rose to kneel between her knees, there wasn't any fear in her face. I doused myself with lube, and while she watched me touch myself, her eyes were hooded with lust. Still good? I asked, and she barely managed to nod. But now I was nervous. Taking myself in hand, I eased forward, pressing slowly onward. I watched her face for trouble. She frowned just for a second. Christ, she was tight. And I realized I was holding my breath, but then her face softened. Holding perfectly still, I asked, Are you okay?
Better than okay,
she whispered. I eased back and she smiled at me. And when I pressed forward again, she sighed, her breasts arching upward. And the sound of it rushed through me, tightening up my balls, pressing the small of my back. Jesus! I went slow, but it didn't cool me off any. The slide of my body against hers was delicious. Her eyes tracked me in a lusty haze, and the whole experience almost killed me. I put my elbows down on the bed and made the symbol for time out with my hands. I need to talk about basketball for a second.
What?
I needed a moment to pull myself back from the action, and basketball bored the snot out of me, so it was the perfect distraction. Instead of admiring Scarlet's lush body beneath me, I tried to think about skinny men in baggy nylon shorts, their shoes squeaking on the gymnasium floor. Must relax. Scarlet reached up to put her hands on my face.
Is something wrong?
I shook my head. Everything is going a little too well. Do you know any basketball trivia? I just read that the shot clock is 11 seconds longer in college ball than in the pros. Wait. The shot clock is not the image I need right now. Her lips curved into a smile.
Bridge, I wasn't freaking out before, but if you keep talking about basketball when you're...
I didn't let her finish the sentence. Instead, I took her mouth in a hungry kiss. She wrapped her arms around my back, and the kiss went wild. With my mouth locked onto hers, I couldn't hold myself back any longer. My hips settled into a rhythm, and my breathing became hot and tight. And Scarlet seemed to join the swing of things, meeting me on every stroke. Scarlet, I panted between kisses. You make me so fucking happy. Every day you make me happy. I forced myself to slow the pace, circling my hips against hers, and Scarlet gasped with pleasure. "You like that?" I whispered. I did it again, and in my arms she seemed to gather herself in.
"Branch,"
she breathed, her eyes closed. I ground against her, and then I watched as it took her under. She arched off the bed and moaned. "Oh, fuck yes," I bit out. I covered her mouth with my own and jacked my hips. Straining with pleasure, I came like a freight train. She gripped me with her knees as I rode it out, sweating and wild. Seconds later, I collapsed onto the bed, pulling her closer. My eyes were slammed shut, but I didn't need to look at Scarlet to know that everything was okay. Her hands skimmed my body with a reverent touch, and her lips grazed my ear. "So," I said, hoarse from exertion. "Good thing I got all worried about that."
"But you promised me it would be awful," she whispered.
"Did I?" Her hips fit perfectly into my hands. "Maybe next time."
Scarlet. I could have stayed there forever, curled up with him. His arms encircled me, and I listened to the sound of his breathing. I waited for the slap of shame to come along and ruin it for me. Look how J.P. Ellison's daughter spends her Friday nights. But the dark thoughts just wouldn't stick. Bridger's arms were warm, and I could hear the thunk of his heartbeat under my ear. It was the most peaceful moment I'd had in weeks. "We should get some sleep," he said eventually. "I know, I'll go," I said quickly. "We can stay here," he said. "But I can't have us naked if Lulu opens that door in the morning. Let me find you something to wear." Bridger fetched me a pair of flannel boxer shorts and a t-shirt for each of us. We curled up together again on the bed, and even though I was sure I would lay awake all night just appreciating him, I fell asleep almost instantly. There was barely any light in the sky when Bridger woke me the next morning, his fingers running up and down my spine. "I hear Lulu walking around my room," he whispered. I sat up quickly. "I'd better go." "Don't panic," he said. "I'm sure she's sticking a cartoon DVD in my laptop right now, and rooting for junk food. She's a bit of an opportunist." Quietly, I got dressed. Bridger and I were sitting on the edge of the bed, cuddling our goodbyes, when the fire door opened. When I turned my head, Lulu looked from Bridger to me and back again.
"Bridge, do you have any Pop-Tarts?" she asked.
He held out an arm, chuckling.
"Lou, come here a sec."
The little girl walked over and slid easily onto Bridger's knee. Set against his muscular shoulder, she looked tiny, doll-like.
"Lou, in the first place, the Pop-Tarts were a special treat, and they're gone. You can have Cheerios or yogurt. But how about a good morning? This is my girlfriend, Scarlet."
The little girl patted his arm absently. The gesture, her slim fingers on his big wrist, was so natural and trusting that I felt a lump in my throat.
"Good morning," she said, scrutinizing me. "Scarlet's hair isn't red like ours," she pointed out. "So why are you named that?"
"Good point," I told her. "I guess I should have thought that through." Bridger gave me a strange look, and I kicked myself for saying it.
"Do you have any brothers or sisters, Scarlet?"
Lucy asked. I shook my head. "No, and I always wished I did." Then her face lit up.
"Hey, is that popcorn?"
"You can have it," I said, nodding toward the bag.
"After breakfast," Bridger added quickly.
Lulu slid off Bridger's knee and picked up the bag.
"Thank you. I'm going to watch a video now."
Then she turned on her heel and went back into the other room. I could hear SpongeBob's voice as the door shut on her. "Sorry," I said right away. I meant to leave before Lulu saw me.
"Scarlet," he whispered into my ear. "I'm not sorry about anything. You and I were just talking. She wasn't robbed of her innocence."
I flinched, because robbed of innocence was one of the phrases that regularly appeared in articles about my father.
"Listen," Bridger said, kissing my ear. "I don't even want to guess what things that kid saw in her so-called home."
"You never told me why you took her away." He slipped his arms around my waist, his voice low in my ear.
It was summer term and I was living on campus. I was starting to realize that my mom was losing her way. When I'd stop by, there were strange people in the house. Lulu seemed skittish.
He stopped talking for a second, pulling me closer.
It was freaking me out. And then I went over there one day and found they'd put a lock on the outside of her door. They locked her in there, Scarlet. And when I opened the door, she jumped a mile.
He took a deep, shuddering breath.
So I just took her. We packed up some of her clothes and a couple of stuffed animals, and we never went back. She hasn't asked about Mom since September.
My God, I whispered.
So,
his voice was thick.
If that little girl sees you and I sitting here, saying nice things to each other, that's the right thing for a kid to see.
He rubbed my back.
You're one of the good guys, Scarlet.
My eyes pricked with tears. You don't know that. He cupped my face in his hands.
Yeah, I do.
Ben Bridger kissed me with lips so soft and gentle that it nearly stopped my heart. I'm going to leave you two to your mourning, I said afterwards, squeezing him one more time.
It's very hard to let you go, you beautiful creature.
Then I'll go fast. See you in class on Tuesday. I stood up and marched out his neighbor's front door. Since it was only 8 o'clock when I walked into my common room that Saturday morning, it was something of a shock to encounter both Katies. They were lacing up their running shoes and staring at me. You are so busted, blonde Katie smiled. Look at you, doing the walk of shame. I giggled, my embarrassment complete. She stood to stretch her quads. Tell us, does Bridger have freckles on his dick? I put my hands in front of my eyes. Geez, Katie. Well, does he? It was dark. Katie giggled, too. Get changed, Scarlet. Since you're up, you might as well join us on our run. I was just about to decline like I always do, but I heard myself say, you know, I think I will. That afternoon, I sat on the window seat, supposedly doing my Italian homework, but I was also texting with Bridger. Bridger. Lou asking about you, your favorite color, etc. Me. Let's go with red. Bridger. Favorite book? Me. Ballet shoes. Bridger. Huh. Now she's your new groupie. She loves that book. Me. My work here is done. Bridger. She asks if I love you. Oh boy. With my heart pinging around in my chest, I tried to think up a breezy reply, but there weren't any. Silence was the only response that wasn't entirely loaded. Then my phone chimed again. Bridger. I said yes, obviously. Me. Swoon. Tell her I'll pay her the $5 tomorrow. Bridger. LOL. Signing off to read a chapter of Harry Potter. You're grinning like a fool over there, blonde Katie observed. Can't help it. I sighed. Katie clutched her chest. Oh, you've got it bad. I can tell. Sunday, Ponytail Katie had another fashion crisis. She'd been invited to a dinner party that evening at some fraternity or other, and dress was not casual. I don't have the right shoes, not even close, and there's nowhere to shop around here. I should have gone to Columbia. It's only a subway ride to Bloomingdale's. I laughed out loud. Today, the Katie's first world problems were more funny than irritating. I might be able to help you, I said. But all your shoes are sneakers, she moaned. True, but I also have a car. What? The Katie's yelped in unison. Scarlet, blonde Katie gasped. You've been holding out on us. I don't ever use it, I admitted. But I'll drive you to the mall. If you two will help me with a few questions on the way there. Deal, they squealed. Half an hour later, I drove out of Harkness, both Katie's in tow. Hopefully neither of them would wonder why a girl from Miami Beach had New Hampshire plates on her car. Soon we were accelerating toward the big mall in Stamford. So what do you need help with? Blonde Katie asked. If she hadn't remembered to ask, I probably would have chickened out. At just the thought, I felt my face heat. Best to just get this over with.
Birth control, I blurted. Where do I go? And what do I ask for?
Oh, that's easy, Ponytail Katie said from the passenger seat. The gyna department phone number is 4900. And you want an appointment with Barbara. The minute you set foot in her office, she'll ask you if you need birth control. Say yes. The end.
Well, okay. I could do that.
What else do you need to know? Blonde Katie asked from behind us.
I'll make you a list of my favorite sex toys. The Lilo Corporation should name a wing of their corporate headquarters after me. I'm like their best customer.
Oh my god! Ponytail Katie laughed.
You're making Scarlet blush. That is so cute.
When I'd chosen my new name, my reasoning had nothing to do with blushing. But it might as well have, because I was so good at it.
I'm not up to those yet, I stammered.
Pity, Blonde Katie said. What are you up to?
Well, I kept my eyes on the road so I wouldn't have to look anyone in the eye.
Lots of things, except I've never given a rim job? A prostate massage?
Lord, I didn't even know what the second thing was.
A blowjob, I blurted.
There was a stunned silence in my car.
Wow, Ponytail Katie whispered finally.
I'm so glad I wasn't homeschooled.
Right, I snorted.
Girlfriend, there is nothing to it, Blonde Katie piped up.
Do you like ice pops?
Sure.
That's all you need to know.
Lick it, suck it, never use any teeth.
Gotcha, I said as my face flamed away. Seriously, there's a whole lot of extra credit techniques you could learn on YouTube, but you don't need that, because enthusiasm counts for 90% of your grade.
Good thing. I tried to imagine myself Googling how to give a blowjob, and failed.
We went to the mall, where I ate a giant pretzel from one of those evil kiosks that belches the irresistible scent of warm butter into the air. And I watched with amusement while the Katies shopped for lingerie. I felt lighter that weekend. It was as if my new life had finally put down little roots. The Katies were less annoying to me all of a sudden. I'd been hating them for their self-absorption.
But now that I had a taste of living in my own little dreamland, my stomach fluttering every time I pictured Bridger leaning over me in bed,
I was distracted. And happy. And whimsical. It felt damned good.
Chapter 10. Exactly the wrong question. Scarlet. I got my graded midterm back at the end of statistics class the following Tuesday. As Bridger and I walked toward our music theory lecture, I held it up for him to see. On the top, 87% had been penned in bright red letters.
See that? I said, skipping down the sidewalk like an idiot. A happy idiot.
Do you have any idea how smart I am? That's why you hang around with me, isn't it? Tell the truth.
You've got me all figured out, babe.
Bridger reached over and pinched my ass. Then he took my hand.
Damn, your fingers are cold, he said, massaging them.
Then he brought my hand up to his lips and kissed it.
God, I had it bad for this guy. But could you blame me?
November had arrived, and people began to talk about their plans for the holidays. I was relieved to learn that the dorms didn't close over Thanksgiving weekend. That meant I could make it all the way to mid-December without having to go home to New Hampshire.
You're not flying home? Bridger asked when I brought it up.
The question confused me, because I'd forgotten for a second that I was supposed to be from Miami Beach. I shook my head.
I'm not going to bother. It's only 4 days, anyway. A long weekend. The place really empties out over Thanksgiving, he warned, his eyes studying me.
I shrugged. That's okay. What are you and Lucy up to? It had suddenly occurred to me that I might get to see him over break.
Usually we go to Hartley's mother's house, but this year he's going to be with his fancy dad on an island somewhere, so I thought we'd stay here, he said. But then my fire door neighbor...
He paused to raise his eyebrows suggestively until I laughed.
He invited us to his place. which is about 90 minutes away. Lucy and I might stay for the weekend.
That's so nice, I said, hoping to convey the proper amount of enthusiasm, even though I'd rather have him here with me.
Yeah, it is. But you know how I feel about accepting help, and I don't want his parents knowing that Lucy lives with me. But I also don't want to ask an 8-year-old to lie, so I haven't decided what to do.
Stay here with me, I thought loudly. What are you going to do about Christmas? The vacation was 3 weeks long, and the dorms were closed. I'd already checked. When I looked into Bridger's eyes, I saw that I'd asked exactly the wrong question, because there was an exhaustion there that hurt me to see.
No idea. We'll probably go to Hartley's for some of that time. I'll try to find a house-sitting gig or something.
I squeezed his hand, wishing I could offer any kind of help, but my options were as limited as his. That afternoon, I didn't get to have lunch with Bridger, because Lucy's school let out early for an in-service. This seemed like very bad luck, at least until I got back to Vandenberg, where an unfamiliar voice called out to me.
Shannon Ellison!
The sound of my old name stopped me cold, but I didn't recognize the petite woman in the suit who was waving me down beside the entryway.
That's not my name, I protested.
I'm sorry, the woman said with a frown.
It's Scarlet now, right?
I must be the biggest idiot alive, because this woman had just gotten me to confess to my old identity. I looked over both shoulders, checking to make sure that no one was near enough to overhear.
Who are you?
I'm Madeline Teeter, assistant district attorney for your home state. I'd like to speak with you, and I figured you'd be coming back to New Hampshire for Thanksgiving. Let's set something up now, and we'll meet next week.
It took me a second to process the idea that the DA had come all the way down to Harkness to ask me for a meeting. I almost felt sorry for her.
I cannot speak to you, and just to put your mind at ease, I wouldn't be any help anyway.
She shook her head.
We can subpoena you, Scarlet. We can schedule a deposition. You don't want that. That's a whole room full of lawyers and a sworn testimony. It would be so much easier for you to just answer a few questions voluntarily. Come in for the interview, Scarlet. If you have nothing for us, it will keep you off the witness stand.
I can't, I whispered. Surely she knew that. My parents would have me boiled in oil. To her credit, the prosecutor didn't look surprised that her 90-minute drive would be in vain. She handed me a business card.
Take this. If you change your mind, my cell phone is right there. Think about it, Scarlet. A chat with me would be quick and painless.
I took the card between two fingers.
I'm not kidding. I don't know a thing.
She nodded, still calm.
I believe you, but it's my job to ask a lot of questions and to learn what there is to learn. And there are boys who need me to ask. If you talk to me, you'll be helping some people who are in a lot of pain. Even if you think there's no point, do it for them.
Well, ouch. She was willing to play the guilt card. But it didn't really matter, because I truly knew nothing. I fished my key card out of my pocket.
I'm going now, I said.
My voice only shook a little.
Call me, she said, turning away.
I didn't watch her go. Chapter 11. Consonants and Dissonance. Scarlet. Now that I was in on Bridger's secret, and I'd met Lucy properly, he began inviting me to spend time with them. One chilly Friday night, we all went out for pizza.
I like olives on my half, Lucy explained. Bridger likes sausage. I guess we can ask them to divide it into three halves if you like it plain.
Three halves, huh?
Bridger winked at me from across the table.
Maybe it's time we did a little work on fractions, Lulu.
Somehow his offhand comment hit me hard. I'd spent the afternoon trying to memorize a bunch of Italian verbs and thought it was tough going. But Bridger was responsible not only for feeding Lucy, but for whether or not she learned math. My 21-year-old boyfriend was somebody's only real parent. He just killed me.
I like the Christmas lights here, Lucy said, pointing at the ambitiously early holiday display over the bar. Bridge, could we have Christmas lights on our window?
I suppose there's no reason why not, he agreed.
Since I'd seen some in the drugstore, I promised myself I'd buy a string of them tomorrow. You'll be all ready for Santa Claus, I said, but then I wished I hadn't, because I had no clue where Bridger and Lucy would go for Christmas, a full 3 weeks when the dorms were closed, and Bridger didn't have the cash or the space for a holiday gift fest. But Lucy only rolled her eyes at me.
I'm not a baby, Scarlet, she said as Bridger bit back a grin. I used to believe in Santa, though, she said quickly, as if she might have offended me. Before, when I lived with my mom.
She picked up her pencil and drew a tic-tac-toe board on the placemat. My chest felt tight just thinking of what this kid had been through, and what uncertainty awaited her. Yet she looked perfectly at peace, sitting next to her protector, doodling on the paper. Under the table, Bridger reached for my hand and squeezed it. On the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, our last day of classes that week, I caught Bridger staring at me during the music theory lecture. When I looked into those green eyes, he winked and looked away. But I felt his eyes on me again a few minutes later. And when I met his gaze, its intensity startled me. The way he looked at me was serious, but also warm. I don't think anyone had ever looked at me that way before. Since we were seated in the back of a big lecture hall, nobody noticed when I reached over to pencil "what" into the margin of his notebook. He gave me a sweet smile before returning his attention to the professor. The day's lecture was about consonants and dissonance.
A consonant chord sounds pleasing to the ear, the professor said, while a dissonant one makes the listener uncomfortable. Traditional music is structured to take advantage of both comfortable and conflicted emotional tones. Listeners, upon hearing dissonant chords, crave resolution. They expect consonant tones to follow dissonant ones.
Bridger swiped my notebook off my lap. When he gave it back, the margin read, "My dissonance craves your consonance." I drew an arrow pointing at his words, writing "dork" under it. When I angled the notebook toward him, I heard him laugh. He snatched my notebook again, scribbled something, and then handed it back. "Make love to me. Right now," it read. Just reading it, my face and neck heated. Beside me, Bridger flipped his notebook closed. He got up, hefted his backpack, and walked out of the lecture hall. When I stepped into the hallway a couple of minutes later, Bridger took my hand and began walking. "Where are we going?" I asked.
"To my room, of course," he said. "I'm not used to bringing anyone there, because they'd ask questions about the extra mattress with the Hello Kitty sheets on it. But since you're already in on the secret..."
"And she's at school," I said.
"Just once."
He squeezed my hand.
"We're getting an A in that class anyway."
My pulse went into overdrive, and I picked up our pace. We made it to Beaumont House in record time. The moment his door shut behind me, Bridger braced me against it. His kiss began on my forehead, slid down my nose, and landed on my waiting lips. His thumbs grazed the sensitive skin of my neck before his hands moved down to cup my breasts. My own hands were busy unbuttoning his shirt so that I could see that beautiful chest in broad daylight.
"For once, we don't have to rush," he said, unclasping my bra.
"But I want your hands on me," I breathed, yanking on his belt buckle. Bridger moaned into my mouth. He tugged down the zipper of my jeans, then steered me over to the bed, where he covered me with his warm body. His tongue began to stroke mine, and I heard myself whimper in appreciation. Our kisses were so deep, I could taste more of Bridger than myself. Then he dropped his lips to my ear. "Scarlet," he whispered, his hand sliding between my legs.
"This was the best idea I've had in a long time."
"Noted." His finger dipped inside me, and I gasped with pleasure. He kissed me, and we began touching each other everywhere. His body was so beautiful and strong,
and the daylight meant I could see every curve of every muscle. I followed the ginger trail of hair down his belly and between his legs, sneaking looks at his, equipment. I scooted down until I was eye to eye with it. I mean, eye to... right. Bridger propped himself up on his elbows and looked down the length of his muscular torso toward me. There was a smoky gleam in his eye, and I realized that it was time to step up my game a little. I put both hands on his body, fanning out my fingers in the reddish hairs I found there. Under my touch, Bridger's hips twitched with anticipation. Okay, penis, I steeled myself. Let's get acquainted. Anyone could do this, right? Time to think about ice pops. Right. I took a closer look. Long and jutting, it stood at attention in a way that body parts don't usually do. Interesting. Sorry, penis. I shouldn't stare, should I? Anytime you're ready, it seemed to reply. Don't give us a complex. Slowly, I leaned in, giving Bridger a tentative kiss right where it counts. Above me, he let out a sexy hiss. So I did it again, sweeping my tongue all the way around the top. With a happy moan, my boyfriend let his head fall back on the pillow. Okay, penis, we've got this. I channeled my inner Katie and went to town. I must have done something right, because his stomach clenched and his hips danced, and the unconscious growl he gave was so sexy I could hardly stand it. Eventually he reached down, gently nudging me away. Stop, he panted, or I'm going to come all over you. When he said it, I felt a zing of excitement everywhere. I'd always thought this would be a little demeaning, but instead it was a power trip. Oh well, I said, reaching for him again. I loved having such an effect on Bridger, making him lose control. Applying my newfound skills one more time, I heard him let out a monstrous groan. Fine, if that's the way you want to play it, but you've been warned. I backed off. Where do you hide your condoms, Bridge? After suiting up, Bridger sat down at the foot of his bed. Come here, Scarlet, he said, tugging on my hand. What? Up here, he said, easing me into his lap until I was straddling him. I hesitated, not quite sure I was ready to drive this bus. You don't have to, he said quietly. But I'll last longer, and you'll... well, you might really like it. I stared into his green eyes, which were lit with warmth. This wasn't me. It seemed impossible that I was really here with this gorgeous man, in broad daylight, climbing onto his naked body. But I was, and I did. It was a tad awkward lining him up beneath me, but when I got it right and sank down on him, I had a perfect view of his eyes squeezing shut with pleasure. He gave a big sigh and looked up at me again. Damn, you make me crazy. Then he wrapped his big hands around my hips and pulled my body tight against him. At first I was tentative, but after only a moment or two I forgot to be embarrassed. Controlling our contact felt absolutely amazing. A decadent pressure began to build low in my core. I strained against Bridger while his eyes became unfocused and his head flopped back. So good, Scarlet. He pulled on my hips to urge me on. The look on his face was precious to me, blissed out and thrusting. For a year I had found it impossible to live in the present, but every moment I spent with Bridger was bright and fully realized. And what a moment it was. With my weight on him, every tiny movement created a sweet friction against him. I shifted my hips, experimenting, until I found an angle of contact that felt almost unbearably good. Bridge, I warned. He moved his hands up to cup both my breasts, and I felt a wave begin to carry me under. I dropped my lips onto his and moaned. Oh yeah, he panted, shoving his hips off the bed while my body quivered against his. And then he gasped, letting loose with a masculine growl of satisfaction. All too soon, we lay coiled in a slightly sweaty heap, breathing hard and feeling happy. That was not on the music theory syllabus, I whispered.
But you're a prodigy,
he chuckled, stroking my hair with clumsy hands.
You make me feel lucky.
That's because you just got lucky. He shook his head.
That's just extra.
We were quiet for a few minutes as my heart swelled with joy.
Scarlet, he whispered eventually. Can I ask you to do something for me?
Anything.
Would you look into getting some birth control pills?
Sure, I said, my voice hoarse. The Katies had already told me what to do. I just had to make the phone call. He raised himself up on an elbow.
I don't mind using condoms, but it would be nice to have some backup.
Okay. I touched his face. We sure don't need any more drama.
So true.
He pulled me in for a kiss.
But the universe must not hate me too much.
Why?
Well, it dumped a lot of shit on me this year, but it also gave me you.
The universe and I are on similar terms, I said. At that, his face became serious again. The intensity I'd seen earlier was back.
I hope you know, Bridger said, his lips brushing my forehead. You can tell me all your shitty stuff, too.
I held him even more tightly. I know I can, I whispered. But I don't want to.
I can take it, Scarlet. Whatever it is, you know that, right? You might feel better if you got to talk about it.
The very idea was terrifying. Even thinking about it made my stomach twist. Bridger's secret, caring for a helpless child, only made him more attractive. No matter how crazy or ill-timed, the purity of his motive was clear. My family secrets were only ugly. I pushed up and out of his embrace. We should get up,
she said, quickly changing the subject.
Bridger snaked an arm around my bare waist.
Stay here a little longer. I won't interrogate you, I promise.
I obeyed, of course. There was nothing in the world so good as snuggling into his embrace. I stared at the side of his face until he turned his head to look at me.
What?
He asked. I love you, I whispered, leaning in to kiss his jaw.
Thank you, universe, he said.
Later, I was trying to finger comb my hair when someone knocked twice on the fire door. Bridger glanced up in my direction to make sure I was dressed, before calling out,
What's up, Andy?
As the door opened, I was busy worrying that Bridger's neighbor had overheard us having sex. But then I got a good look at the neighbor's face, and I realized that I had a much bigger problem. He was just as tall as I remembered, but he had filled out. His face was broader, more mature, and the Harkness basketball sweatshirt was an improvement over the Star Wars t-shirts he'd always worn to our high school. Andrew Bashnagel. I forgot to breathe. For a second, we stared at each other. Then he laughed.
Shannon Ellison, how's your slap shot these days?
I opened my mouth to say something, but no words came out. Bridger's head swung in my direction, and my chest was suddenly tight. I took a step backwards, and then two more. When my back hit the door to Bridger's room, I fumbled for the knob. As I wrenched it open, I heard Andrew's puzzled voice.
What the hell did I say?
I fled. Part 2. Shame, despair, solitude. These had been her teachers, stern and wild ones, and they had made her strong, but taught her much amiss. The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne. Chapter 12. The Bashnagel Boy. Scarlet. I ran down the stairs and out of the entryway door. Beaumont College was a beautiful Gothic labyrinth, and I had to run beneath three pretty granite archways to reach the outer gate.
Scarlet!
I heard Bridger's voice behind me somewhere, but I couldn't talk to him. I didn't want to see the look on his face when he realized who I was, and how much ugliness there was in my life. I'd tried to be someone else. For almost 3 months, it had worked. I hustled up the sidewalk toward the gate to Fresh Court. Ahead of me, the door of a shiny black car opened onto the sidewalk, and I angled to avoid it. But the passenger, a man in a suit, lunged forward and grabbed my hand. Startled, I whirled to face him. It was Azan, my father's bodyguard.
"Shannon, come with me," he said.
I yanked my hand back and tried to propel myself away, but a second man blocked me, allowing Azan to get his hands on my lower back and steer me toward the car. The other guy, a driver I'd never seen before, opened the back door. "No," I said, confused. I did not want to get into that car.
"Yes,"
Azan said simply. He gave me a gentle shove, but it was enough to send me pitching toward the leather of the back seat. His hand came down on the top of my head, which probably kept me from scraping my scalp against the frame of the car during my graceless entry. Azan pushed me further into the car as he slid in beside me. And just as it occurred to me to reach for the opposite door and climb out into the middle of the street, his hands grabbed me.
"Drive,"
he said to the other man, who had already